Amen. Good morning, church. Oh, don't put your Bibles away just yet. We want to keep them open there to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, we're going to be looking at God's Word there this morning. Hope that you have had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. And because Thanksgiving is in our hearts and our minds and the blessings that God has given us, I am drawn to Psalm 107 this morning. Psalm 107, to bring a lesson, oh, that men would give thanks. And why I want to share this with you this morning from Psalm 107 is this beautiful refrain that appears four times in the psalm. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Imagine it for a moment. How different might life look? How different might our families be, or our culture, or our nation, if it was full of humble and grateful people? People who knew the Lord. People who thanked the Lord. And people who thanked the Lord often. A few years ago, my wife Julie went into the elementary school for our oldest daughter, Erin, and there was a bunch of Thanksgiving activities going on. One of the things she saw is that some of the teachers had put up butcher paper on the doors of the classrooms so that the kids could go by and write out on the paper what they were thankful for. And she snapped a couple of pictures because it was just adorable. And I want to share one of those pictures with you today, what little elementary kids were writing a few years ago. William had a green marker and he wrote, "I'm thankful for friends and family." And Alana, she wrote that big heart there in the middle. "I'm so thankful for family, friends, and God too. XOXO, hugs and kisses." Sabrina wrote, "I am thankful for friends." And that's just all very special. But then somebody wrote, and they didn't sign it, "I'm not thankful." Now, I will tell you, when I first read that, I laughed too. And I thought, every classroom has one, right? Got to have the class clown. And there's so many teachers in here. You feel what I'm saying. Teacher wants to do something special and somebody's got to be different. And some of you are thinking, actually, that was me. I was the class clown. I was always the one who had to write something different. And that's probably what that was. I hope that's what that was. But then I got to thinking, you know, class clowns aside, what if this were serious? What if a teacher said to the child, "You need to go write what you're thankful for." And when the child walks up to the butcher paper with the marker, they just kind of blank. They don't feel like they have anything to be thankful for. Or they're not sure of anyone that they would thank. Kind of a sad and selfish and godless way to go through life. And it ought not to be that way. In Psalm 107 in verse 1, as Rusty read for us a moment ago, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Because of some geographical things mentioned in this psalm, most commentators hold that the psalm was written following the Babylonian captivity in the days of Ezra or Nehemiah or Esther. But what this song is a collection of five scenes. It's a collection of five pictures. Every picture is different, but it's a different kind of trouble. It's a different kind of distress. And the people, they cry out to God, and every time He delivers them. And then that great refrain, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You can sort of imagine how the congregation of Israelites would gather around the temple to sing this song amidst their thank offerings and their peace offerings. The Levites would read out or chant out the refrain, the lyrics. All the congregation would gather and at the same time repeat the refrain. Redeemed of God, will you repeat the refrain with me right now? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And they would chant that again and again. And while this may have been originally composed for post-exile Jews, the redeemed, we read in verses 1 through 3, the redeemed are God's church today. Christians, we are the redeemed. And we have been called into the Lord's church from every direction, and this by the gospel. And it is our privilege and it is our responsibility to give thanks to the Lord and to tell others about him too. Now I believe you're going to see yourself in this psalm today. In at least one of these pictures, and maybe more than one. And when you do, you're going to recall what the Lord has done for you, and you are going to thank the Lord. And when you do, you're going to see reasons why all men should thank the Lord. And there might even be someone in the room this morning who is ready to leave the scene of distress and hardship and difficulty in their life to know the redemption and the new life that is only available in Jesus Christ and thank the Lord. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. So we go to the notes, and it's a very simple lesson today. We're just going to walk through Psalm 107. But as we go to the notes, I want you to appreciate, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord who leads. As we pick up our reading, number one in your notes, as we pick up our reading in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. What a picture of wanderers in a desolate way. Wanderers in a wilderness. Wanderers. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever lost your way out on a road somewhere trying to find some destination? Have you ever lost your way out hiking in the woods? Have you ever gotten lost from your parents or your family? It's easy to do this time of year. Get separated in a sports arena somewhere, or maybe left behind at a shopping mall. It can happen. Been lost. And how did that feel? Lonely? Frightened? Did you want to keep being lost? Can you imagine being lost in life? You feel aimless, senseless. It seems that no matter which way you move, it's just been another bad direction. And that's lonely and that's frightening. You've made enough wrong choices to this point. It just seems like another bad decision is ahead of you, and you almost want to give up. That's wandering in a wilderness. Here's a picture of people wandering in wilderness. No food, no water. They must keep going. They need shelter. They look for a city. They've wandered so long. They're going to faint. They want to give up. They might even die. They just can't wander anymore. And so what do? They cry out to the Lord. And it is the Lord who leads them. Verse 6. And the psalm says that the Lord led them. He led them in the right way. He led them to the city where they could dwell. They will not faint if they are God's people, because he will satisfy their soul. They've been redeemed by God. They've been delivered. They've been rescued. Redeemed, and what a beautiful word it is. The idea of being ransomed. That is, that you are saved because someone paid for you. Rescued you because someone paid for you. And that's what the redeemed have all been. Saved. And rescued. You see, there are reasons that Christians become Christians. There is a moment when some trouble or distress, some sin or some guilt, it moves you to turn to the Lord. And you say, I need it. I need redemption. I need rescued. And it is Jesus Christ who is the great Redeemer. And you'll find redemption nowhere else, because Jesus Christ is the Lord. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. For all of those who are lost and wandering, feeling like they're fainting along the way, Jesus will be the leader. Jesus will lead you and lead you home. Jesus will lead you to a city, one made without hands, a city wherein you may dwell in this for eternity. Jesus will satisfy the hunger for your soul. Jesus will redeem you. And that's why the redeemed can say and say together this wonderful refrain. Are you redeemed in Christ? Will you say it with me? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. They say this again and again. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord who leads. He leads. You may not be a Christian yet today, but if you're lost, I want you to know that there is a leader. And I'll tell you that you can follow the Lord. He will lead you. Oh, that men would give thanks. This Lord, we talk more about Him in Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord who frees. Give thanks to the Lord, number two in your notes, who sets us free. Look at verse 10 in this wonderful psalm. Psalm 107 and verse 10. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. What a picture. A picture of bondage, of chains, of slavery in darkness. I wonder if you've ever felt trapped. I wonder if you've ever been trapped. Everybody's got a story. Have you ever been arrested? Do you know what handcuffs feels like on your wrist? Have you ever had to take the ride in the back of a squad car or spend the night in jail hoping somebody would come and bail you out? Have you ever been in that situation and the worst part was you knew it was your fault? You catch that in these verses? They knew they had rebelled against God's word, and here they are. Well, have you ever been enslaved? Maybe it wasn't chains on your arms or your legs, but there were chains in your life. You'd like to break out of some habits, some behaviors, but oh, it is so difficult. You've been enslaved to alcohol, or maybe you've been enslaved to drugs. Maybe you've been enslaved to sex or to food or to gambling, but there's some things and it's like chains. Are you a slave of sin? The scripture says that people become slaves of sin when they rebel against God. Again, verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and despise the counsel of the Most High. So often people think sin is the prize or the reward or the real freedom when we are involved in this wickedness or iniquity or whatever it is that's delighting our flesh, but contrary to the word of God. And yet the truth is it's only handcuffs. It's only chains. It traps every time. And once they realized it, they cried out. What this is in these verses is a picture of those who truly rebelled. If they had been God's people at all, they had left Him. And perhaps they had never knew Him. But there were still consequences in this life and the next for breaking His word and despising His word, because it brings you to a terrible slavery in darkness. What do? They cried to the Lord, verse 13. And He liberates. He frees. I want you to know this morning that it is Jesus Christ who makes men free. It is He who has the power as the Lord and as the Savior. In the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter, John 8 and verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33, they answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You commit sin and you are a slave to sin. You need to be freed. And it is the Lord who frees." Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord who frees. The one who can break the chains of slavery to sin. The one who can break the power of the devil and anything that would hold us in bondage to fear. It is Jesus Christ who redeems. And we who are his people, this is something to give thanks. And this is something to share. And so we find the refrain again. Will you redeem? Say it with me. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Brethren, I want you to know that the greatest prison break of all time is yet to occur, and that's the prison of death. Don't you know that the gates of Hades cannot prevail against Jesus Christ? That there is coming a great day of resurrection and of judgment, and if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are the redeemed in Christ, the great Redeemer, you shall be free. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord who frees. I want to go on in this psalm with you. In Psalm 107, picking up in verse 17. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord who heals. Who heals, number three in your notes. And we're looking back at Psalm 107 again. And here we find in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. The fools were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. What a picture here of the person who is sick, who is starving, and that because of foolishness. Hunger is heartbreaking. Hunger and malnutrition, very difficult things to witness, very difficult things to endure. This time of year, people take extra pains to try to provide some food for the people who are less fortunate. And I know that your heart is touched as mine is when you see pictures of starving children or malnourished children on screens, whether, you know, locally or, you know, in another country somewhere. You want to help. You want to help. And then you find out there are people, in fact, an alarming number of people in our own country who are actually obese and yet they are malnourished. And yet the doctors say they're starving. They're not hungry, but they're starving. How's that? Well, because cheap and junk food is provided for them something to eat, but it's not the right stuff for their bodies. It's all junk food, right? They're not hungry. They eat it. They're malnourished. They're sick. You eat the wrong stuff, you're malnourished. You don't eat, you're malnourished, and you starve. I wonder if you've ever been hungry. I wonder if you've ever been ill over something that you've eaten. How long do you want that to continue? You know, here's a picture of those who are starving from foolishness. There's good food, God's word, that would nourish them and strengthen them, but they want their own wisdom. They want their own desires. They want their own foolishness. And after stubborn foolishness has brought them to death's door, then they cry out. They cry out from a place of starvation. They don't want to be hungry anymore. They don't want to be sick anymore. They want to be satisfied. They want to be healthy. They want to be strong. They cry to the Lord. And the remedy of this malnutrition and starvation of foolishness is God's word. You see it in verse 20? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word. When we were gathering around the Lord's table, meditating upon the supper, Brother Dan started by reading John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, whom the Scripture calls the Great Physician. In fact, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 15, Mark chapter 2 and verse 15, as we have this occasion where Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector to come be an apostle and follow him, it says in that place, "Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Now, it's not that these scribes and questioners are so much more righteous. They had self-righteousness going on. But the ones who knew and observed, they're starving from the foolishness. It's been sickness. And here is one who heals, Jesus, the great physician. He came to call the sick. He came to call the sinners to repentance, to be nourished. He redeems them. He receives them. He brings his word to them. And when you obey his word, there is spiritual healing and nourishment that occurs. The great physician, Jesus Christ. The bread of life, Jesus Christ. And we who are the redeemed in Christ, this is something that we share. Will you say it again with me? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and to his wonderful works for the children of men. Amen. Amen. There is no reason to starve and die in sin when God has sent the Word for us to read, for us to study, to obey, to nourish our soul, to share it with others, and to tell it to others. I want to go a little farther with you this morning. The reasons for our thanksgiving. Are you starting to see yourself in some of these pictures? In Psalm 107, we must give thanks to the Lord who calms. Number 4 in your notes, the Lord who calms. Psalm 107 and verse 23. "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him, and also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders." Oh, what a picture. Sailors at the mercy of a great sea storm. I wonder if you've ever been at the mercy of your environment. Were you ever out to sea, either in a big ship or maybe some small boat, and a storm has pitched you this way and that? I don't know, maybe we're not as seafaring as we used to. Have you ever been in the airplane when it really got turbulent? Have you ever been in one where it started rocking around so much that the oxygen mask fell down? I always hope that I remember to put mine on first. They tell me every time. But what if I panic, right? Have you ever been in that kind of situation? Have you ever spent a night in a storm cellar or a basement because there was a tornado blowing through your town? In those moments, you are utterly helpless and hypersensitive to the reality of higher power in the afterlife. And people's lives can take on this characteristic too. While we see the great Redeemer delivering people from evils of their own making, that was the picture about breaking the chains. Remember, those fellows had rebelled against the Word of God. The sailors didn't cause a storm. But they're in the storm. Likewise, there are events and circumstances beyond our control that bring trouble and distress upon us. there are times when we do what we're supposed to do, and yet bad things are happening to us. Kind of like a sailor just doing his job, but here's the storm. And so you see that by time or chance or just living in this sin-cursed world, even the actions of others perhaps can bring great trouble our way. And these kinds of situations will cause some people to curse God, but other people to cry out to God. And that's what we're reading about in Psalm 107, the people who turned to God. That's what the sailors did. They cried out to the Lord in verse 28. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. It's one of the most well-known of Jesus' miracles in Mark 4, verses 37 through 41, where Jesus stilled the storm. It's hard to imagine being on that boat in that raucous night on the Sea of Galilee, that all of the experienced fishermen knew they were drowning and called out to Jesus, "Don't you care?" And he had the ability to speak to the winds, "Peace, be still." And the wind stopped, and the waves stopped, and all was calm. Like the doldrums. And we learn that Jesus is master over nature. He is creator. The redeemed know that they overcome the storms of life because it is the Lord Jesus Christ, who can calm them, who can calm the issue, who can calm our hearts as he leads us through the issue. It is the Lord who guides them to safe haven. Verse 29 and verse 30. No one likes the storm. But there's a powerful story to tell on the other side. And what we see here in this psalm is that you're telling people on the other side. They're calling out, speaking about the Lord's deliverance and his goodness. Particularly here in Psalm 107, as you go to verse 32. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people. Oh, look how the Lord has saved you and redeemed you. That's something to share with other people. Earlier in the psalm, verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. To who? Others need to know about this. We tell others about our Lord and about his goodness. This is the last time the refrain appears in the psalm. Will the redeemed say it with me one more time? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Because he is the Lord who calms. And you know why other men will give thanks? It is when you begin to tell them and share about what the Lord has done in you and what the Lord has done for you. And they too will want to know your Lord, the true Redeemer. The psalm ends this way. And I hope the turkey has not gotten everyone too sleepy this morning. But it is our last point, number 5. We want to give thanks to the Lord who blesses. He blesses. And my, his benevolence and goodness is attested at the end of this psalm. When you notice with me verse 33 in the chapter, Psalm 107, verse 33. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Well, that doesn't sound like much blessing. Why don't we keep reading? He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. This final picture is that picture of God's provision for his people. Material circumstances can make people mindful of a higher power. In fact, there's a temptation to look at wicked folks and the iniquities of a society and see all of their prosperity and really be troubled at that. Really begin to question everything. Why is it that drug dealers or corporate crooks or crooked politicians or what have you, they live like kings. But the honest, the hardworking people, they lose out. They lose out on the job or they lose out on their house. Why is that? We're doing everything right. And in fact, comparing ourselves to others and their situation only tends to feed ingratitude. It only really causes us to harbor selfishness. And that's not what this song is about. We're not going to do that. But here's a picture that shows us that no matter what's going on with the other people and their situation, God has not forsaken His people. And there is justice and judgment for the wicked, and there is deliverance and redemption for the righteous. And God will bring this all about as He blesses His people. God will take care of you. This wonderful promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All what things? He's talking about the necessities of life. Not the creature comforts that we love so much, like our air conditioning and our indoor plumbing. But daily bread, clothing, some type of shelter. Yes, God will provide. And Jesus will take care of you. He will bless you. And wisdom requires that we observe this. That we observe how God is righteous. That we observe how God tends His people and blesses His people. And that we thank the Lord. Verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things. And they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Where did we begin? Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. This wonderful mercy and connection of loving kindness. The song ends on the word of the wise, seeing God's mercy, seeing God's loving kindness, and declaring it. You see, the wise must respond. They respond to His deliverance. They call out to Him and He saves. But they respond in thanksgiving for that deliverance. I wonder, as you look on your life and look on these pictures, what are you crying out to the Lord? What is your heart declaring to Him? Have you responded to His invitation in the gospel to have deliverance, to have redemption? Are you giving thanks to the Lord for all the blessings in your life? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. If you want to put your notes away and put your Bibles away, our brother's going to come forward and lead us in a song in just a moment. Oh, the butcher paper on the door of the elementary school. Who knows what kids will say or what they will write. I hope this was just a kid being a stinker. I'm not thankful. But you know, it was written for anybody to pass by and see. And I'd love for you to reflect upon your own life and your own attitudes. What are you declaring to the world around you? For anybody that would pass by and see. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. There's wonderful blessings in this psalm for those who are the redeemed in Christ. And the invitation of the gospel is for you to become one of the ransomed, one of the redeemed. To confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose again. Repent of sin in your life and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptized into Jesus to be one of His people, to be the redeemed. If we can help you with that this morning, we want you to. If you see yourself in these pictures, crying out to God in your distress, know that the answer is already provided, and it is Christ. It is the gospel of Christ. It is your time to respond. For those of us who have responded, let us be the thankful in declaring it the goodness of our God and thanksgiving to Him to all around us. If we can help you this morning to become one of the redeemed or minister to any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make the desire known as we stand and sing. Won't you come?